Is the Democratic narrative surrounding January 6th crumbling?
The sharing of biased and false news
has become all too common on social media.
And I want you all to know that we are fighting the fake news. It's fake, phony, fake.
Actually, I was shocked this morning. I got up and did something I don't normally do, and it's I read the Washington Post. And as I was looking at the analysis in the Washington Post, they literally claimed that their own narratives had been a failure.
Of course, there is a reason that we and other news organizations have generally stopped giving an unfiltered live platform to remarks by former President Trump.
It's interesting for the narrative because the narrative is these are safe, effective treatments, long-term good care. And if that were the case, then nobody would be afraid of an extended period of time for malpractice.
If you go back really not that long ago, as I say, we owned the news. We were the gatekeepers, and we very much owned the facts as well. If it said it in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, then that was a fact. Nowadays, people can go to all sorts of different sources for the news, and they're much more questioning about what we're saying.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Jeffrey K. Lyons. It's Tuesday, February the 6th, 2024, and this is Narrative Wars. Today, we continue with our coverage on the Take Our Border Back convoy story. It departed from Virginia Beach, Virginia, a little over a week ago, and it regrouped in Kamado, Texas, about 20 miles from Eagle Pass, Texas, a few days ago. And we're also going to find out about a major LGBTQ advocate nation which has decided to cease gender-affirming care for minor children. And finally, the net zero bullying tactic of the United Nations is crumbling. Major international financial institutions are not buying into it. All of this and much more on today's episode of Narrative Wars. I'm your host, Dr. Jeffrey K. Lyons, and you don't want to miss this.
We the people are sick and tired.
Let's peel back the curtain of confusion to shed light upon the mainstream media madness. And now, Narrative Wars, with your host, Jeffrey K. Lyons.
We the people are sick and tired. So tired.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time that we understand we're not in a period of celebration right now. That'll be next year. At this time, we are in a narrative war. It is a war for the soul of America. We are peering behind the confusion here and exposing the lies of the legacy media. The mainstream media, the universities, and the public schools, they do not own our thoughts. We do. Last week, we heard from the Texas Attorney General, Ken Paxton, regarding the intentional lawlessness that the federal government has been pursuing on the southern border. This week, we shift focus to American citizens that drove from Virginia Beach, Virginia to Texas in order to hold a peaceful protest regarding the 10 million plus illegal immigrants that have entered the United States since Biden became president. All right, well, turning to this first piece, this is the Take Our Border Back convoy, and the rally was held in Texas, in Kamado, Texas, and there were hundreds of people there. They moved across America, halfway across America, from Virginia Beach, Virginia, to Kamado, Texas, about 20 miles away from the place where all the action is happening, which is Eagle Pass, Texas. So they stayed away on purpose. They didn't want to create any issues there. But let's take a listen to this piece, National Desk, and this is February 3rd, 2024. Listen to this. This is cut number 1A.
So far, it has been pretty calm today as members of the Take Our Border Back say that they're here to spread a message of peace and unity. The event attracted several hundred people from across the country and featured several musical guests and speakers. The convoy is made up of a coalition of people that travel to the southern border in Texas, Arizona, and California. Today, they say their message is one of peace and are protesting the number of migrants illegally crossing over from Mexico.
We're here to have a peaceful assembly to bring awareness to the border crisis and all the issues that are arising from that. And this place here in Queimado has been hit especially hard.
The group has previously said they condemn violence and are not looking to engage with anyone.
So this is a peaceful protest. And one of the smartest things they did was they held their peaceful protests on private land. And it's about 20 miles away from Eagle Pass, Texas, the hotspot of the immigration tug of war between the federal government and the state of Texas. Well, a couple other points to mention here. The video just showed a small crowd of a few hundred patriotic people, God-fearing, American-loving patriots. And again, it was a peaceful group. There were prayers held for the nation, and they were there to exercise their First Amendment rights. Now, this is very interesting because by all standards, it was pretty much a big nothing burger in terms of any sort of violence or radical narratives or extreme narratives. It just wasn't there. These were just families and average Americans saying, hey, we don't want an open border with millions and millions of people coming across. That's not right. The Constitution says we're supposed to be protecting our nation. And we have a federal government that is not doing their job. They aren't looking at the Constitution. Basically, they're a lawless federal government. Now, here's a piece. This is interesting. So this is coverage of the exact same event. But this one was done by CBS News. The prior piece was done by the National Desk. Now, here's a piece by CBS News, February 2nd, 2024, covering the same event. And it's quite different in the way that it is presented. Let's take a listen to this and we'll discuss. This is cut number 1B.
So let's pick up on that point. Some of the migrants were moved from Eagle Pass. Is there an actual threat or danger for them as the convoy approaches?
That was termed by Customs and Border Protection as somewhat of a precautionary move, Catherine, but it was also notable that they used the words that this was necessary. And it does reflect a little bit of the tension that's been going on as the group has gotten closer and there have been more disagreements about what Texas continues to do at the border and their disagreements with federal authorities. People here are very, very fervent about their position. And then at the same time, you have people who are in Eagle Pass who really want to see this kind of thing come to an end. So although that threat wasn't corroborated, it is something that Border Protection felt was necessary given everything that they've been following here this past week.
So they moved people, they moved illegal immigrants away from Eagle Pass because there was a threat, but the threat wasn't corroborated. In other words, there was no threat. But they needed to do it because it was necessary, because it was necessary to talk about the threat that wasn't a threat. You see where this is going? So they're creating an issue, doubling down on it when it's not even an issue because the protesters are 20 miles away on private land. And they're having a great time. They've got their vehicles there. They've got their flags. They've got their camping equipment there. And so, again, it's a big nothing burger because they aren't causing any problems. But CBS News continues to double down. Let's hear the rest of the piece. Let's listen to this as we continue and finish up this piece. CBS News, February 2nd, 2024. And the piece was titled, Border Patrol Moves Migrants Away from Eagle Pass Before the Convoy Rally.
In the final few seconds, where did Texas lawmakers land on the rally?
There have been some Republicans who have come out in very strong support. One, in fact, from North Texas, Keith Self, expected to be here tomorrow. Democrats haven't talked as much directly about the rally on the convoy, but they've been talking more about the governor's actions at the border, Catherine, and the potential for those actions to do what they call incite extremist violence.
So, oh no, there's that word again, extremist violence. But see, when you look at the video, the actual video of the event, total snoozer. It looked like a bunch of people just having a picnic. Of course, there was a stage, there was music, there were flags, there were kids and families there. And boy, that doesn't look like a very scary crowd. But this is the way that CBS News wanted to frame this story. So it's all about optics. It's all about advancing a narrative. Extremism could be violence. We need to react. But they're reacting to nothing. They're just creating an issue when there is no issue. So here's the talking points that were covered in this story. Some of the illegal immigrants moved away because there was a threat. There was danger to the immigrants as the convoy approached. So they had to make a precautionary move from border agents, which was necessary because the Texas and the federal authorities are what? They are constituting a threat. And yet the threat wasn't corroborated. There was no threat, as we discussed, but it was still necessary to react to the non-threatening threat. Here's another follow-up piece. Now, this is January the 24th, 2024. The United Nations budgets millions for U.S.-bound migrants in 2024. Center for Immigration Studies. Folks, this is a really important article. Todd Benzman wrote this. And it's January 24th, 2024. You know, some of you have probably been asking, you know, where do these millions and millions of people coming from all over the world, how do they finance themselves? How do they move in these convoys of thousands of people? Well, here it is, Todd Benzman. He brings up the receipts. It comes through U.S. taxpayer-funded United Nations. So the UN is essentially a co-smuggler of these individuals coming in. The U.S. funds the UN along with other nations, and the United Nations acts as a smuggler bringing these people in. So the UN's 2024 update to the Regional Refugee and Migrant Response Plan. And that's a document you can download. Links are in the show notes. A planning and budget document for handing out $1.6 billion. That's billion with a B. In 17 Latin America countries can cast a broad confirming light on the cash giveaways and much more aid for 2024. So the United Nations is funding it, and the United States is funding the United Nations. We are the largest contributor to the United Nations. And of course, the U.S. taxpayer is funding the United States government. The documents clear up any mystery about the UN and NGOs. Those are non-government organizations that are doing the migrant trails and leave no room for supposedly debunking fact checks. So if anybody tries to tell you otherwise, it's all there. The United Nations is funding this. Continuing in the article, in a nutshell, the UN and its advocacy partners are planning to spread $372 million also in cash and voucher assistance directly to these migrants or illegal migrants into the United States for multi-purpose cash assistance. The $372 million is a planned cash giveaway to 624,000 immigrants moving north and illegally crossing national borders. I mean, what else do we need to hear? If you want to go into more sordid details, it's all there in the show notes for today's program. All right, moving to our next piece. We are going to turn to Sweden, which was the first country to legalize gender reassignment. But now they're having a change of thinking regarding this. They've been doing it for many years, and apparently there are some startling facts that are appearing, and now they're saying, wait a moment, we need to tap the brakes on this. We are destroying the youth of our nation. Let's take a listen to this piece. Sweden puts brakes on treatments for trans minors. Cut number two.
A pioneer in LGBTQ rights, Sweden is overhauling its policies when it comes to transgender teenagers. Surgery to reduce breast tissue was banned in December for under-18s, and they'll no longer have access to hormone treatments following recommendations from Sweden's public health service. Journalist Carolina Jemsby split opinion when she produced a documentary that told the story of a teen who developed osteoporosis after taking puberty blockers.
The knowledge of young people, teenagers, actually being harmed by these treatments did make the Socialstyrelsen, the National Board of Health and Welfare in Sweden, wait with treatment to have a normal puberty and then see what happens.
So this piece actually came out about a year ago. We're putting this piece up because we have another follow-up piece from the WHO that's making an announcement. And that piece is dated February 4th, 2024. Here's the reason why we're going back a year to this piece from Sweden. The facts are coming out. The treatments, the hormone blockers and the hormones that they're giving them to go through this gender transition, it's destroying children. It's destroying teens. I mean, a teen should not have osteoporosis, bone disease. And so the health department, the officials in Sweden, they're saying, no, we're going to make this, we're going to stop doing this. We're going to make this illegal in Sweden. And we are going to wait and let them go through normal puberty and see what happens. Wow, what a shocking idea. Let them just go through puberty and then see how they feel once they are 18, once they become legal adults, or whatever the age is that they become legal adults in the nation of Sweden. Well, once again, look at this. Here's a shocker. Townhall.com, February 4th, 2024. In an article, the WHO, again, that's World Health Organization, they admit there's no scientific evidence to supporting gender-affirming care on children. I don't think this is going to be a lead story on any of the alphabet networks across the United States of America this week. But here it is. Who admits there's no scientific evidence for supporting gender-affirming care on children? Wow, they're kind of coming around. Maybe they noticed what happened in Sweden a year ago and that certain nations are saying this is bad for children. Continuing in the article, the World Health Organization admitted there's no definite scientific evidence for recommending children to receive gender-affirming care. And indeed, there isn't. It's all about feelings. You know, I feel like I'm part of the opposite sex. I feel like I was born in the wrong body. Listen, I feel a lot of things. I feel like I should get possibly paid more. I feel like I should live in a house that is a different color. But we can't live based on entirely feelings because that is a fantasy world. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Scientific findings, according to the article, on the long-term risk factors of child sex changes are, quote, limited and variable. The scope of the guidance will cover adults only and not address the needs of children. So this is interesting. Basically, the WHO is doing what Sweden did a year ago. They're saying there's no scientific evidence, there's no definitive scientific reasons for recommending children to receive gender-affirming care, so we're going to stop giving any guidance for children, and we are going to only give guidance to adults. I just read it. Quote, the scope will cover adults only and not address the needs of children. In other words, let children be children. Let children go through normal puberty and see how they feel once they become legal adults. Wow. You know, children have been going through puberty for thousands of years, and somehow the human race survives. As we've mentioned in earlier programs, Narrative Wars has now crossed the 5,000 download mark. Yes, thank you, everyone. We appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you for your support. Well, we've been shadow banned also repeatedly by limiting our distribution on the internet. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you found value in this program, please share it with one or two like-minded friends. We really appreciate that. And you can also join us on social media on Getter and True Social by searching at Jeffrey K. Lyons. That's at Jeffrey K. Lyons, and that's Lyons with a Y. I look forward to reading your comments and hearing your thoughts. Coming up next, you would not believe how the European banks are now reacting to the net zero pledge. All right, now turning to Europe and the big banks in Europe. So you probably heard about the net zero initiative, which basically would put us all back in the dark ages because we'd have to get rid of coal and oil and gas. And right now, 60% of all our energy or more comes from oil, coal, gas. So if we turn that off, basically, we'd all be rubbing sticks together and cooking outside of our homes around a pile of rocks. So there has been a development here among the European banks. A few years ago, they said, yeah, we're gonna do that. We're going to stop the evil companies that are producing coal and oil and natural gas. We're going to stop them by not loaning them money. And there was a lot of pressure on banks to do that. So let's take a listen to this piece. This is cut number 3A.
Despite net zero pledges, major European banks are funding projects to expand oil and gas production. That's according to a report by nonprofit Share Action. 25 of the region's biggest lenders, including Barclays, HSBC and Deutsche Bank, provided $55 billion to energy companies last year. And while that amount is nearly half what European banks financed in 2020, it is more than double the figure for 2018. The International Energy Agency has warned that net zero carbon emissions needs to be achieved by 2050 to keep alive hopes of limiting global warming to below 1.5 degrees.
So you notice they keep pushing those dates out. You know, oh, it's going to have to be done by 2050 or we'll all be swimming around in the ocean and the entire North American continent is going to sink. Now, if you do a little bit of digging, you're going to see that these doomsday predictions have been going on now for decade after decade after decade. So, and we'll talk about that a bit more in the closing comments of today's program. Here's a piece, Bank of America. This is one of these very large banks, VLBs, that has pledged to participate in net zero, or maybe they haven't. What has happened? Daily Caller, February 3rd, 2024. Bank of America walks back much touted pledge to not finance coal and Arctic drilling. Huh, what's going on there? So here's another follow-up piece. A climate protest will be held, Bank of America, in Bryant Park on Tuesday. They're trying to put these two different pieces together. What's happening? Well, again, net zero is the driving narrative. Bank of America initially bought into this thing a number of years ago and said, no, we're not going to finance the oil and gas and coal industries, but now they are, and they're going to just do due diligence, which I say is fine because 60% of our energy is oil, gas. Let's turn the clock back to September 19th, 2023. Again, this is the narrative they've wanted to push. Climate protest against Bank of America. So you see how they keep targeting these large banks? Cut number 3B.
Later this morning, there will be a climate protest against Bank of America, which critics say is the third biggest financier of fossil fuels. That protest will be held at the Bank of America Tower in Bryant Park.
So this is really interesting because this is Eyewitness News, ABC 7, New York. Basically, what they're doing is they're reading a press release. And the press release came out from the protesters. And yet, nothing happened at the time of that reading of that news story or press release over the air. The event had not even taken place. So Eyewitness News, they just became press release news. And we read press releases and we don't even have to go out there and cover a story because that's what happened. Another follow-up article, more on Bank of America. Bank of America is really out there in the news, folks. Bank of America walks back much-touted pledge to not finance coal and Arctic drilling. Daily Caller, February 3rd, 2024. Bank of America had committed to terminate its direct funding of coal mines, coal-fired power plants, and Arctic drilling, according to December 2021 Environmental Social Risk Policy Framework. But fast forward to 2024, that is not taking place. So in order to understand what's really going on, you have to put these stories together, kind of like a patchwork quilt. First, there's the climate change narrative. It drives multiple action steps. One of those is the targeting of the oil and gas industry. The argument goes that oil and gas industries are increasing carbon dioxide, that we must transition off of CO2 producing industries to save the planet. Well, here's an interesting thought, and you're going to have to go back to the 1930s, to Germany. Adolf Hitler opined that, quote, it is easier to tell a big lie than a small one. Joseph Goebbels perfected the technique as the chief architect of Nazi propaganda. Goebbels put it this way, quote, make the lie big, make it simple, keep saying it, and eventually they will believe it. And in today's parlance, we call that gaslighting. You know, when college students are told all their life that the planet is coming to an end and that we must destroy the evil oil, coal, and gas industries to save the planet, then of course they're going to pick up signs and protest Bank of America in New York City. But the problem is that it's all a lie, a big lie. Bank of America is in the business of lending money to make money. And they lend money to all sorts of different businesses. Oil, gas, coal, that's just one of many, many sectors of the society that they lend money to. But this is why they reversed their pledge to defund oil, gas, and coal industries. Because the jig is up, folks. The ESG narrative, people are seeing it for what it is. And ESG investing is tanking. And the Bank of America, at the end of the day, they're going to make loans because they don't want to become history. And now a few closing comments. The narrative war has been going on for a long time. It's been taking place for centuries and even millennia. The fact is, modern left-wing educators who've studied in certain Ivy League schools don't want you to remember much history at all. That's because the playbook is fairly simple and even crude, and it repeats itself every generation with a slightly different nuance. Have you ever wondered why statues were torn down in 2020 and there was a national momentum to rename schools, public buildings, even sports teams? Everything was suspect, and that was their intent. They didn't want you to understand history. The left-wing narrative propagandists only wanted you to learn their truth, the postmodern truth, the progressive truth, the pro-Marxist truth. And when tyrannical rulers take over, it's not uncommon for there to be a purging of the old and an attempt to erase a society's history. According to the Holocaust Encyclopedia, quote, on May 10th, 1933, university students burnt upwards of 25,000 un-German books in Berlin's Opera Square. Some 40,000 people gathered to hear Joseph Goebbels deliver a fiery address, no to decadence and moral corruption. As part of an effort to align German arts and culture with Nazi ideas, university students in college towns across Germany burned thousands of books they considered to be, quote, un-German, heralding an era of state censorship and cultural control. According to Smithsonian Magazine, book burning has been carried out for millennia. Chinese Emperor Qin Shi Huang, more widely remembered for his terracotta army, he ordered a bonfire of books as a way of consolidating power in his new empire. Books in ancient Rome were outlawed and burned. Copernican cosmology books were burned much later. And the British even burned the United States Library of Congress during the War of 1812. Well, we could go on and on with other examples. The fact is that the First Amendment and the freedom of the press are meaningless if censorship and propaganda rule the day. America cannot descend into a nation where our history, no matter how imperfect, is wiped out, lest we repeat the errors of the past. Case in point is the current climate change narrative. A simple search will yield a few facts. In the 1970s, the media, the mainstream media, they were warning the public that scientists were all predicting global cooling, and that the Earth was in a state of peril. In 2006, former Vice President Al Gore warned the world about global warming. So it changed from global cooling to 2006. Suddenly, all the scientists had decided that the world was warming. And then it changed again. A few decades after Al Gore's famous announcement that global warming was putting the Earth at peril, the term changed once more. Now it's climate change, which replaced global warming, because global warming conferences were frankly being held in cities that were experiencing record snowstorms. We need to understand that the media are in the business of selling their stories, attracting an audience, and selling access to that audience to advertisers. That's how they make money, folks. Disaster stories always sell. That's why the mantra at every mainstream media television station is, quote, if it bleeds, it leads. Liberty-loving Americans don't give in to the zeitgeist of negativity and chaos that can be viewed daily on your cell phones, computers, and television screens. We are in a battle for the heart and soul of America. Our actions today will become the history that future generations read about. America shall remain the land of the free and the home of the brave, a place where we can still proclaim liberty throughout the land. And that's a comforting thought. Until next time for Narrative Wars, I'm your host, Dr. Jeffrey K. Lyons.
We the people are sick and tired. So tired.